In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. A blessed and happy feast day to everyone, the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today the angel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady and announced to her she would bear a son, and she would name him Emmanuel. This is Luke chapter 1. So, you know, how appropriate these days when the entire world seems to be on fire, in a panic, on the brink of disaster. And we would do well to remember that this, the Annunciation, was, we could say, the moment of that the promise had finally arrived. The Redeemer was here. This is the day, right now, when victory was not just guaranteed, but guaranteed soon. Even though there would be no visible, we could say, physical signs of the Redeemer for another 9 months. So even though victory is guaranteed, he's here, he's among us, he's not yet visible. And so we would do well to remember that in these times and every time. Right? Victory may be right around the corner, we just don't see any signs of it yet. So let us not forget about that in these dark times. So, you know, today there's so many things we could go over, and what I want to do, however, is talk about how today is the fulfillment of, we could say, what the prophet Jeremiah had done when the Israelites had gone into captivity, in the Babylonian captivity, and the Ark of the Covenant was hidden, and the prophet Jeremiah said, this place will remain unknown until the glory of the Lord returns to Jerusalem. And so that glory of the Lord is today. I mean, the angel Gabriel says that. The Holy Spirit will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee, and therefore the child to be born of thee will be called Holy Son of God. Right, the glory of the Lord overshadowed thee. The only other time we hear of this is in Exodus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, I can't remember, when the glory of the Lord overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. And this is in which was held the artifacts from the Israelites leaving Egypt, leaving the place of sin, wandering through the desert, coming to the Promised Land. What was held in the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, the Word of God written on stone, the manna, the bread from heaven, and then the rod of Aaron, the budding rod of Aaron. And we know that from Exodus 16 is the chapter where we learn that manna was kept in the ark. Numbers 17, the rod of Aaron was kept in the ark. And then Deuteronomy 10, verse 3 to 5. And then 1 Kings chapter 8, we heard of the Ten Commandments were kept in the ark. And also in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, all three, it mentions this is what was held in the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, everything God does, he does for a reason, and he does with, he doesn't just do one thing, he does multiple things. So he's symbolizing something by all of these things being present in the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant. And indeed, the Old Testament Ark is a foreshadowing of the New Testament Ark of the Covenant, who is the Blessed Virgin Mary. The glory of the Lord overshadowed her. And this was fulfilled today, on today's feast day. We know from the descriptions that the Ark of the Covenant was to be made to hold the Word of God, and that over top of it were two angels with their wings outstretched over top of the Ark of the Covenant. Those are the carvings above it. And so what we have now is the Blessed Virgin Mary, who from all time was designed by God to hold His Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word made flesh, hold the Word in her womb, and now the angel wings are overshadowing her, holding the Word of God. Also, as we know, Christ our Lord is the bread from heaven, so he's the manna in the desert, the same thing held in her womb. And then the budding rod of Aaron was symbolizing the priesthood chosen by God. There were these rebels in the book of Numbers who also wanted to arrogate the priesthood unto themselves, and the word of the Lord came to Moses, have them put their staffs along with Aaron on the ground, and whichever staff buds, that is whom I've chosen to be a priest. And so, of course, it was the rod of Aaron which budded. He was the priest chosen by God. And so we know that of Christ. He was not just the Word of God in the flesh, the bread from heaven. He's also the high priest of God according to the order of Melchizedek. So all three of these things, the Blessed Virgin Mary carries in her womb, and as Jeremiah prophesied, the Ark, once the Jews went into the Babylonian captivity, the Ark would remain hidden until the time of the Lord, and that time is now. So we see all manner of biblical prophecies and fulfillments in today's feast, today's very feast. And that's just the beginning, right? That's just a small overview of all of these. I mean, we could spend hours and hours discussing each one of these, right? Exactly what went into it and the symbolism and so on. But this will suffice for today to give us an idea of the significance of today's feast. It would also, very good to meditate upon the dignity of maternity and virginity displayed by the Blessed Virgin. Really the dignity of women, whether married or unmarried, such a great dignity was bestowed on the female of the human species today in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I mean, what a dignity, right? That if motherhood was not already sacred, which it is, and a sublime privilege, this would have made it so. The fact that God chose to have a mother, and God has. God has a human mother. He doesn't have a human father, right? Fathers don't have the same dignity that mothers do, because Christ did not have a human father, only a human mother. That right there really elevates the dignity of motherhood. And Mary is absolutely perfect. She's a perfect symbol for all women, whether married or single, as I mentioned. All women find their fulfillment and happiness in following the virginal motherhood of Mary. So whether a woman is called to be a physical mother or not, she can still be a spiritual mother, right? All women can glory in that, the Blessed Virgin's maternity. All women are called to be spiritual mothers. Women are supposed to give life to souls by their prayers and by their love. Life-giving love, spiritual life, bringing souls back from the abyss of hell. And this is what Our Lady said to the children at Fatima. Why do souls go to hell? Because they have no one to pray for them. Right? And nothing inspires us to pray more for others than loving them. And this is a special vocation for all women, that spiritual motherhood, adopting and begetting souls through prayer. Right? The prayers of a mother are powerful. And so whether women are populating the world by their physical children, that's only the first part of it. Right? Mothers need to bring those children that they've given physical life to, they need to give them spiritual life by their prayers, by their example, and then populate heaven with those very same souls. And so spiritual mothers may not be begetting physical children, but they can beget spiritual children still and take those lost souls out there, take those orphaned souls who have no one to pray for them and adopt them. Pray for them and bring them from this life into heaven. And I can absolutely guarantee, I don't think anybody would disagree, we need spiritual mothers now much more than we need physical mothers. Children are always being born into the world, certainly fewer than they should be because of the evils of abortion. But women, you can adopt those souls too. Spiritual adoption. Fulton Sheen talked about this, is adopt an aborted baby, pray for that soul to be given the good grace of perfect contrition, of baptism of desire, pray for that soul to be able to enter heaven. Anything is possible with God's grace. And for those many, many children who are born into the world, who's teaching them their prayers, right? Who is teaching them, we could say, proper spiritual manners? Who's teaching them about God? Who's teaching them the truth? So many spiritual orphans out there, they need mothers, mothers to love them. So I would give this advice to all women, married or not, pray for those children. Pray for those orphan souls out there very much, just as the world is in desperate need of good fathers, of good masculine men. The world is so desperately in need of feminine women, women who understand the purpose of their nature. The God made women to be beautiful, to be loving, to be nurturing. That is why God made women. One of the reasons that they're supposed to show forth those perfections of God in their very being. And when a woman understands that, she understands that's her special mission, right? As a woman, to bring that beauty, to bring that love to the world, that can change. That can change not only herself, her perception of herself, but everybody's perception of the world. wow, I didn't know this kind of beauty was possible. And the world, there's a beauty that only women can bring to the world. And that's just, the world is so desperately in need of that, is true beauty and true goodness and true love, which women have a special vocation to bring. So I encourage all women out there to recognize that, to embrace your mission that God has given you. Bring beauty to the world, beauty in yourself, on the outside, especially on the inside. Bring that to the world. Adopt souls, love them, pray for them. Populate heaven by your prayers. That would be the greatest and most wonderful thing you could give to God, because it's the only thing He wants. Right? God wants nothing else except souls, and women, you can do that for Him. Imitate the Blessed Virgin, imitate her virtues, imitate her love, give life to the world. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.